Good to be here this morning. Good morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm chapter number 126. Psalm chapter number 126. And it is good to be here this morning at your church. This is only my second time being at your church. I was here several years ago to hear Brother Tony Hudson preach. And so it's good to be back here at Calvary Baptist Church, and I never take it lightly whenever a pastor asks me to come and fill his pulpit. That's a big deal to be able to fill his pulpit when he's away, and so I do appreciate the opportunity, and I thank you for being here. Even though your pastor is not here, a lot of times that'd be a good time for you to play hooky and stay at home, but you decided to come to church today anyway, and so I'm sure the Lord will bless you for it. Psalm chapter number 126. What time did he say? Till 10:25? Is that right? 10:25, all right. We're probably going to be out a little bit early because I am not a long-winder, all right? Psalm chapter number 126. Look at verse number 1 with me, if you will. I'll let you remain seated. The Bible says, "When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like men, were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Let's look at verse number 5 and 6. Very familiar passage of Scripture here in verses 5 and 6. A lot of you probably already have it memorized, but it says this: "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." This morning I want to teach on, in Sunday school, the thought of a guaranteed formula for fruitfulness. A guaranteed formula for fruitfulness. I'll explain where I'm going in just a moment, but first let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the day that you've given us. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, and the privilege and the freedom, Lord, to be able to come to your house and to be able to worship you, Lord, in spirit and truth, Lord. Thank you for the freedom that we have in this country to be able to stand and be able to proclaim your word, Lord. And God, we realize that there was a great cost paid for that, Lord, that freedom. And we say thank you that we get to partake in that this morning. Lord, I pray that you would, God, bless each person that decided to get up and come to church this morning. I pray that you would, Lord, help it not to be a waste of time. But Lord, I pray that you'd use your word, Lord, this morning, speak to our hearts. Pray that you'd use me, Lord, as your mouthpiece. I pray that you'd fill me with your power, Lord. I pray that you'd, God, get me out of the way, Lord, so that you can speak to our hearts through your word. And God, I pray that you would, God, just help this to be an encouragement, Lord, to each person here, Lord, and learning, Lord, how to best be fruitful, Lord, in our labor for you. And Lord, be sure to praise you for all you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. God intends for every Christian to bear fruit. How many would agree with that? Everybody agree with that? God intends for every Christian to bear fruit. God intends for a church to be instrumental in reaching the lost. That's the purpose of the church. The main purpose is for the existence of a local body of assembly of believers is to reach the lost. It's to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout their community. A Calvary Baptist Church, your main purpose is to honor and glorify God, but also to spread the gospel in Flora and in the surrounding areas. I like guarantees. I like whenever you can tell me one thing and you say, if I do this, then I guarantee this will happen. I like guarantees. Whenever we buy a product, we like a guarantee. We like to know that if it doesn't work, I can take it back or I can get a refund. If it doesn't work, then they'll give you your money back. I like guarantees. And God here in Psalm chapter number 126, He gives us a guarantee. He gives us a guarantee. And it's in those words, the Bible says, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. We place a great deal of that on that word shall in the Bible. That word shall, we place a great deal of importance in it. For instance, Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're willing to trust our eternal security in the word shall in Romans chapter number 10 verses 13, but yet in Psalm 126, when God says, if you'll be a soul winner like this, you shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. Psalm 126 is no less God's word. It's no less important than Romans 10:13. And God says, if you'll do this, then I will do this. It's an important truth from the Word of God. And God gives us a guaranteed formula for success in our soul winning, a guaranteed formula for success in our witnessing for Christ. And here's the formula. It's right here in the Word of God. The Bible says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The formula is this. You've got to go, you've got to weep, you've got to sow, you've got to reap, and then you rejoice. That's the formula. It's a guaranteed formula for fruitfulness. I want to look at that this morning for a few minutes. Notice, first of all, the word go. We are to go. There's no command of Christ as well documented as the command for you and I to go. We are to go. Turn with me to Matthew chapter number 10. Matthew chapter number 10 in your Bibles. Matthew chapter number 10. And we're going to look at verse number 5. Matthew chapter number 10 and in verse number 5. Turn over there with me. We'll read it together. Matthew chapter number 10 and in verse number 5. The Bible says this, Simon the Canaanite and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go, not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter number 20. Matthew chapter number 20, and look at verse number 1. Matthew chapter number 20, and in verse number 1, the Bible says, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard, and he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. Then one more passage of Scripture here, Matthew 21, just the next chapter over. Matthew 21, verse number 28, the Bible says this, but what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not, but afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise, and answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father, they say unto him, the first, Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Hudson Taylor said this, the Great Commission is not an option to be considered, it is a command to be obeyed. It's not an option to be considered. It's not that God puts it before us and says, if you want to be a witness for me, or if you want to be one that tells others about me, then you can do that. It's not an option to be considered. It is a commandment from the Word of God that we are to obey as born-again children of God. God did not save us to sit in our pew and just soak up all of the preaching and to soak up all of the fun and to have a good time in His house. God did not just save us to sit. God saved us to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. If God did not intend for us to be a witness for Him, then man, the day that we got saved, I honestly believe He would have just took us to heaven right then and there. But He didn't do that. He saved us, and now He's given us a commandment to go into all the world and to tell every creature about Him, to tell every person that's a lost and dying sinner about the need of a Savior. Dr. Darrell Cox, he said this, if you're not fishing, then you're not following. If you're not fishing, you're not following. There's too many people that sit in our churches today. They claim to know be born again. They claim to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And they claim to follow Him, but yet they fail to fish for men. And it's a good statement that he said, if you're not fishing, you're not following. It's close to God's heart. It's the heartbeat of God to tell others about Him, about their need of a Savior. Look at Matthew chapter number 22 with me. Matthew chapter number 22, you should still be right there in Matthew 21. Look at verse chapter 22. Look at verse number 2. The Bible says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden for to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden. Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come into the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Notice the next phrase, go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, but both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. I love that phrase, both bad and good, because, hey, be honest with you, we're both bad and good. We have nothing good to offer God. He was willing to take us as just bad, wicked sinners, and he invited us to his wedding, his marriage supper, and he invited us. He said, go into the highways. It doesn't matter if they're bad. It doesn't matter if there's good. He said, just go and bid them to come. And in Matthew chapter number 28, let's look there with me. Turn over just a few more chapters. Matthew chapter number 28 and verse number 18, the Bible says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. In the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we find the word go 177 times in only 166 verses. 177 times in 166 verses. The command by Christ was to go. It wasn't to sit and wait, it was to go. Not sit and hope, but to go. Not sit and pray, but to go. And not sit and just hope that some lost sinner would wander his way into the house of God, but we are to go after them. Brother Jerry Ross said this, if a church is not going, then a church is not growing. If your church is not going, then your church is not growing. So I ask you this morning, where are we to go? Where are we to go? There's several practical areas that we ought to go. Number one, see the world as your mission field. See the world as your mission field. Many churches, as you exit the door, a lot of times they have on the back wall there, you are now entering your mission field. You're now entering your mission field. You ought to see your world as your mission field. Whatever your world is like, your world and your circle of influence, that ought to be our mission field. That ought to be our influence of how we can reach those with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to see our world as our mission field. Really, there's no bad place to go. Everywhere is an acceptable place to go tell the good news of the gospel. But you ought to, number two, you ought to see your family as your mission field. You ought to see your family. Turn with me to John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1 this morning. John chapter number 1. I want to show you something here in John chapter number 1, and look at verse number 40 with me. John chapter number 1 and in verse number 40. You ought to see your family as your mission field. The Bible says in John 1, verse number 40, it says, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth, notice the phrase, his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. He didn't go to his friend first. He didn't go to his co-worker first. He went to his own brother and said, hey, I have found the Lord. And he went to his family first. Andrew, when he found the Messiah, went first to his own brother. Listen, the first natural reaction to any new convert is to want to see his family saved. Amen. Yet ought to be a burden in our heart to see our lost family, our lost brother, our lost sister, our lost mama, our lost daddy, see them come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and accept his free gift of salvation. That ought to be a burden. That ought to be at the top of your prayer list to see your family saved. It ought to be at the top of your prayer list. You ought to compile a list of your family and begin to pray with them if you haven't already. You ought to pray for them daily. And man, don't give up on your family. Just because it may be years and years and years, don't give up on their their salvation need. Man, there's people that's on our prayer list that we pray for at our church with spiritual needs, and they've been on that list for years. But it ain't my job. It ain't up to me to give up on them and delete them off there that we shouldn't pray for them anymore. We got to see our family as our mission field. We ought to see our community as our mission field. But look at Acts chapter number 5 with me. Turn over there with me. We're just going through the Bible this morning. Acts chapter number 5. Turn over there with me. Acts chapter number 5. Look at verse number 40. Acts 5, verse number 40. The Bible says, "And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple," notice the next phrase, "and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." You ought to see your community as your mission field. D.L. Moody says, "It's the greatest pleasure of living to win souls." The greatest pleasure of living is to win souls. You ought to get involved in your church's soul winning program. You ought to get involved in your organized times of soul winning. And I know you have it. Those times that you go out as a church body and you try to reach your community, and maybe those times don't work in your schedule best, but man, I guarantee you, if you were to call Brother Mike or you were to call someone else and say, "Hey, I can't go on Tuesday night, or I can't go on Saturday, but I can go on Thursday, or I can go on Friday, would you go with me?" I guarantee you somebody would go with you so you could fulfill your commandment from the Word of God. Listen, it's not a conviction that you may say, "Well, I'm convicted that I need to go soul winning." No, it's a commandment from the Word of God, and we have to obey God's commands to go. We ought to see our community as our mission field. Listen, teenagers can reach other teenagers. Men can reach other men. Ladies can reach ladies. That's how it all works out. Man, a lot of times we'll have the ladies show up to soul winning, but the men are nowhere to be found. But can I tell you, men, it's our job to go out as well. It's our job to go out as well. Teenagers, it's your jobs to go out as well. And ladies, it's your job to go out as well. If we all work together, man, we can reach our community for Christ. We ought to see our community as our mission field. You ought to see your place of employment as your mission field. I don't believe in accidents. I believe that God gives us our jobs for a specific purpose, a specific reason, and obviously to make money, but you have a circle of influence at your place of employment, your job, that you could be a witness for Christ. Your life ought to be a testimony to them. Every single day they ought to see just the way you live and say, "Man, there's something different about that person. There's something different about that young lady, the way that she presents herself. There's something different about that young man, the way that he talks and the way that he acts. There's something different about that man and about that lady, and I want to know what they've got that I don't have." Your place of employment. Man, every once in a while at lunch break, they ought to see you crack open the Word of God and read some from the blessed old book. They ought to see every once in a while maybe you slip a gospel tract to someone. You can be a witness for Christ at your place of employment. You say, "Well, we're not supposed to do that at our place of employment." You still get lunch breaks. You still get breaks. You still get your own personal time, and you can be a witness for Christ at your place of employment. It all boils down to is how big is your want to. How big do you really want to be a witness for Christ? How burdened are you for the ones that you work with, your coworkers, those ones that you work with 8 hours a day or 10 hours a day, those ones that call you friend, that call you buddy, those ones that count on you to help them at their job? They don't know if they're gonna count on you to be their person that leads them to Christ. See your place of employment as your mission field. See your neighborhood as your mission field. See your neighborhood as your mission field. Evangelize your neighborhood. Be a good neighbor. If you're a bad neighbor, then maybe you should get that right before you try to win your neighbor. But you ought to be a good neighbor. You ought to try to be a good neighbor. Who lives, listen to this, who lives in your neighborhood that God has placed in your neighborhood? A family down the street or next door or across the street. Who's in your neighborhood that you could win to Christ that maybe nobody else could? A lot of times God places us in a neighborhood, and like I said, I don't believe in accidents. I believe that God places us maybe in that neighborhood so that we can be an influence, be a witness for Christ where we live. You ought to see your neighborhood as your mission field. You ought to see young people. You ought to see your school as your mission field. You ought to see your school, man. What an awesome responsibility, young people that are involved in school and public school and even private school or whatever the case may be. What an awesome responsibility they have to be a witness for Christ. Some of the greatest missionaries that is in my teen group is teens that go to public school. And they've got such a responsibility to be a witness for Christ. And man, it's sometimes hard for me to be able to go in there and do a Bible study or to carry my Bible in there. But you know, you can. You can take your Bible to school. You can pray in school. You can do that as a young person. And so it all boils down to how big is your want to. You ought to see your school as your mission field. And as you begin to examine each of your mission fields, where you're at, your neighborhood, your job, your family, you look at all the areas that you can be an influence and you can be a witness for Christ, your mission fields, God will begin to give you a burden for those places. He'll put specific people in your mind and in your heart that you and you alone can probably only reach. There's people that you can reach that Brother Evans will never be able to reach. There's people he'll be able to reach that you'll never be able to reach. That's why we all got to work together. There's people that I can reach that you'll never be able to reach and vice versa. And whenever we pray about our mission fields that God has given us in, our areas of influence, and we say that, man, I can minister here, I can be a witness there, and God will put specific people on your heart that he'll burden you to win. The first step to reaching them for Christ is prayer, obviously. As you examine your community, your workplace, your neighborhood, and the list begins to grow of people that you start praying for specifically that you want to reach. If you attend a public school, all around you are young people who are unsaved. Think about it. All day they walk the halls of your school. Ask God to give you a burden for your friends, for your co-workers, for your family. Soul winning begins with prayer. Ask God to give you a chance to witness to those in your circle of the world. Dr. John R. Rice said this, "What a compelling motive we have for prayer, for preaching, and for soul winning when we learn that every responsible human being who leaves this world without a definite change in heart immediately lifts his eyes in hell, tormented in flames." What a compelling motive, he says, for witnessing, for preaching, for soul winning. Whenever we think about it, every responsible human being, when they leave this world without Christ, they immediately open their eyes, engulfed in the flames of hell. If that don't motivate you to tell someone about Christ, then I don't really know what will. If that don't motivate you to go, if that don't motivate you to pray, if that don't motivate you to give a gospel tract, man, you can, listen, you may not be the best at talking to people. You may not even be able to get around to where you can go out and knock doors. And I get all of that. But man, you still send bills and you can put a track inside that bill. You still go to the bank and you can give a track to that teller. You still go to the post office and you can give a track to that postal worker. You can still do your part if you have a burden and you see the need. You see the compelling motive. It all comes down to how big your want to is. And we're commanded from the Word of God to go. But we're also, not only that, turn with me back to Psalm chapter 126. Psalm chapter number 126. We're not only commanded to go, but also we are to weep. We're talking about a guaranteed formula for fruitfulness. We are to go, but we are also to weep. Tears are the natural result of what happens when we go. Tears happen when we go. Turn with me. We turn to Psalms. We'll get right back there. Just flip your finger right over to Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 9. Look at that with me real quick, and we'll turn right back to Psalm chapter 126. Look at Matthew chapter number 9, verse number 36. The Bible says, "But when he saw the multitudes," talking about Jesus here, "but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Proper emotions are the result of proper obedience. You feel when you see. Never use the excuse that I'll go when God gives me a burden. Because God will give you a burden when you go. When you go to some places and you see the lost situation that people are in, God will give you a burden. God will give you the tears that you need. Never use the excuse that if God gives me a burden, I'll go. No, whenever you go, God will give you that compassion. He'll divinely increase your compassion when you obey the command to go. Heard someone say this, to keep our hand on the plow while wiping away our tears, that is Christianity. To keep our hands on the plow while wiping away the tears, that's Christianity. What he means by that is working for Christ, being a witness for Christ, and seeing the condition of this world, that's Christianity. That's what people want to see. They want to see people that they want to see people of God that see their need and they're burdened about their need. And even if it means that man they get laughed at, they get mocked at, they get cussed at, even if it means all of those things, they're still willing to be that witness. The Bible records for us the importance of tears. And tears are needed. I really believe that's one of the reasons that we are not as fruitful as Christ intends for us to be, is because we go. We have our organized soul winning times. We try to be a witness for Christ. We do go. Man, gospel tracts, we order them all the time. There's not a problem, I don't think, really, with going. Some people, that's their problem. But a lot of times, we have a good majority going, but we have a very few majority that are weeping. Where there's tears, where there's broken hearts, where there's staying up all night begging God to save that family member and saving that friend and saving that coworker. There's very few tears that are being shed for the lost and dying world, for our mission fields. Let me ask you this. Are you willing to ask God to break your heart over the lost? Willing to ask God to help you weep over those who are headed to a devil's hell? Say, God, give me the tears. Give me the tears of and see the burden for the ones in my mission field, and you'll get those when you go. So we are to go. We are to weep. But the next thing in our formula is number three, we are to sow. Turn with me to Matthew chapter number 13. Matthew chapter number 13. Matthew chapter number 13. Look at verse number 3 with me. The Bible says, He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and destroyed them up. Some fell upon the stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. The Bible clearly identifies the seed as the Word of God. That is the Word of God, what we hold in our hands this morning. That is the seed. And we are to sow the seed of the Word of God into the hearts of the lost. Our responsibility is to sow and water. God's responsibility is to bless the sowing and to give the increase. We fail sometimes because we think we've got to do it all. We think we've got to go, we've got to sow, we've got to give the increase, and that's where we fail. Man, it's not up to us to see the increase. It's not up to us to see a sinner get saved. It's up to us just to go and to sow and to water, and God gives the increase. God blesses the sowing. And so, man, don't be discouraged this morning thinking you got to do it all. God says, you do your part, then I'll do my part, shall doubtless come again. Listen, our challenge is to sow and water. We must... And a lot of times in our churches, we don't set increased goals. We'd like to see, 150 people saved. No. We want to see just 150 people come to go out and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ and let God give the increase. Let God do His part. Listen, as a local assembly of born-again believers, we want to increase the number of sowing and increase the number of seed sown and let then God supply the increase. The reason we don't see a big increase is because we don't see a lot of seed sown. God's doing His part. It's us failing to do our part. Listen, it's common sense that the more seeds that a farmer sows, the greater the harvest. If it wasn't, then they'd be out of business. But the size of the harvest is dictated by the number of seeds that was sown in the spring. Listen, there's a great power. There's great power in assembly of believers participating in sowing together. Think about this. If I were to pass out 10 tracts myself, then 10 people would get the gospel. And that, praise the Lord. But if 70 or 80 or 100 people were to pass out just 10 tracts, we're up to 700, 800, 900 people in a given week's time getting the gospel. just giving a track. And everybody can give out 10 tracks a week. That's hardly anything. That really takes no effort. You as you go through the drive-thru at the McDonald's to get your coffee, track, going. That's one. Do that every single day, and before you know it, if we all do that, our church, your church, my church, we've multiplied the seeds that have been sown, and then we say, okay, God, we've done our part. Please give the increase. And we leave it up to God then. Listen, if that's done consistently, giving out the seed and sowing the seed and watering with the Word of God, if that's done consistently, there will be visitors and there will be people saved on a regular basis. And I think that's the reason that Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 9 and in verse number 38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, and he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. Because he knew if he had people going, he can give the increase. If he had enough people going and sowing and weeping, then he could give the increase. And so we ought to go, we ought to weep, we ought to sow. But let me give you the next thing. We ought to reap. Reap. Psalm 126, verse number 6, the Bible says, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Listen, this is what God promises to do. He's the one that convicts. He's the one that draws. We are only responsible for telling. Listen, God never intended for you to tell, to convict, to push. God only wants you to tell. He'll do the convicting. He'll do the drawing that is necessary for a sinner to be saved. If there's no conviction, then there's no conversion. He'll do that part. But he needs us. He wants us to do our part. Listen, as a soul winner, we get the privilege, whenever you get to stand at someone's door, you get to stand at an altar, in a classroom, wherever the case may be, and God allows you to open the Word of God and to be able to lead someone to Christ, and you, hearing a sinner bow their head and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, by being able to do that, that's as close to reliving your salvation experience as you'll ever be able to get. There's great joy. Man, we get to have a front row seat to being able to see a sinner being passed from death to life. What a privilege that is to be a soul winner. A privilege that is to be able to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And God says, if you'll go and you'll weep and you'll sow, then I'm going to allow you to reap every once in a while. I'm going to allow you to be able to see someone being passed from death unto life. Boy, what a tremendous opportunity. What a tremendous privilege that is for you and I to be able to be co-laborers with the Lord Jesus Christ and seeing a sinner get saved. So we are to go. We ought to weep and sow and then reap. And then the last one, we love this, rejoice. The Bible says, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Leading someone to Christ is one of the greatest joys you'll experience on this earth. And after you get to see someone come to Christ and you get to participate in that, a lot of times I think the reason that we don't go and we don't sow because we've never had that opportunity to be able to see someone pass from death into life and lead them to Christ. Man, what a great privilege that is. And after you do that, spend some time rejoicing and praising God for that, but then, I didn't put this in there, but then we ought to repeat the above process. It's simple. God laid it all out in His Word. He says, if you'll go and you'll weep over and you sow, then I'll give you the reap and you'll get to rejoice. Let me ask you this morning, church. How is your going? How's your going this morning? Have you maybe slacked off this summer? You've been busy with vacations and other things, and maybe you've slacked off from your going this summer. Get back in the routine of telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. We all can go. We all can do our part. Man, we can carry some gospel tracts in our pocket, men and ladies, in your purse. At the restaurant, we can give them out. Man, we can do our part in going. We can do our part in weeping. You'll never learn to weep until first you learn to go. You get the burden, you get the weeping, you get the tears by seeing people in their lost condition. You keep in your mind, ever prevalent in your mind, that man, if they don't accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, they'll open their eyes in eternity and spend eternity in a devil's hell. How's your weeping this morning? How's your sowing? As I said, we all can go, we can sow. We don't have to give the increase. God wants us to sow and water. He'll do the increase. He'll bless your obedience to Him. And you'll never learn what it is to reap and rejoice until first you do the other three. A guaranteed formula for fruitfulness. It's laid out in His Word. God said, you do this, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing and bring your sheaves with Him. We like guarantees in this world. God's given us a guarantee that is not of this world, and yet a lot of times we fail to take advantage of it. Go, weep, sow, reap, and rejoice. A guaranteed formula for fruitfulness. You do your part, God will always do His part. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for, God, the lessons in your word, Lord, the truths that are found in your word. God, I thank you that you didn't leave us here just to wonder what we're supposed to do or to guess. But God, you've given us clear, Lord, truths from your word, a guaranteed formula for fruitfulness, how if we'll do our part, then God, you promise to do your part. God, you said if we go and we weep and we sow and you'll allow us to reap and rejoice. God, would you help each person in the sound of my voice, Lord, to get a burden, to God, to get a desire to be able to go and do their part as a soul winner. God, thank you for salvation. Thank you for saving our soul. But Lord, we understand that that's not where you want us to stop. God, you want us to be a witness. You want us to be, God, a witness for you, God, whether that's passing out tracts, whether that's our life, Lord. You want us to be a witness for you. God, help each person. God, boy, girl, man, lady, Lord, whoever's in the sound of my voice, help us just to be that witness. Help us to go. Help us to weep. God, help us to sow. God, would you may those ones that get that, Lord, those three down, Lord, would you allow them to see some reaping and some rejoicing? And God, help us to repeat the process, Lord. That's what you want us to do. Because we understand, God, if we're not going, we're not growing. And if we're not fishing, we're not following. God, we want to be close to you. Would you help us this morning to be soul winners, be soul conscious of God, our lost and dying friends, our lost and dying family, our lost and dying neighborhood, our jobs, our employers, God, our schoolmates, God, whoever is in our mission field, is in our area of influence, God, help us to get a burden and see them saved before it's eternally too late. God, I pray that you'd just bless the service to follow, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.